Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio, here on DC Sports Radio 106.7. The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. What's it going to take for Washington to defeat the New York Giants? They've got to defend the run. I think that's the first part. You know, I really do hope the offense can go down the field, but defensively, we got to make the Giants one-dimensional. Stop Tyrone Tracy, which we struggled with last year. That's why we brought in Kinlaw, Dietrich Wise, the new-look defensive line, to stop the run. Week one, game one, stop the run. Hopefully Dan Quinn can get the boys fired up to go after the Giants, especially, and win in the trenches. Number two, back to the offensive line and the defensive line. Protect Jaden Daniels. This defensive line for the Giants is star power. Burns, Thibodeau, Lawrence, Abdul Carter. I mean, whew. Good thing we brought in Laremy Tunsil. Good thing we drafted a right tackle in Connerly, because it's going to be a challenge. And then I think the third thing is, back to the trenches again. We have to be able to establish the run. I don't want Jaden to throw 45 times in this game tomorrow, but he is one of your three captains, Jaden Daniels, Bobby Wagner, and Jeremy Reeves. Here's how Washington wins the game. Look, I do think that this is going to come down to Washington's got to create an explosive play early in this game. Like, I think it's going to be a battle. I really think it's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to be, you know, which team gets that big momentum-shifting play early on. Five questions that I think will be answered week one against the New York Giants. Number one, right, with how great their line is the Washington offensive line improved? An offensive line that 2 years ago gave up 60-plus sacks when they had Sam Howell. Last year, the offensive line didn't struggle too much, but I think a lot of that was Jaden Daniels kind of masking their mistakes with his ability to escape the pocket. I mean, I could point to four or five highlights off the top of my head in which there was a free rusher, but Jaden just made that guy miss. He's just an insane X factor that we haven't seen before in Washington. Even RG3 wasn't making that many free rushers miss. But we will find out, I think, week one. That's a question that will be answered. Is this Washington offensive line improved from last year to this year? Number two, Malik Nabers, like we said, 30 targets last year. Had nearly 200 yards against Washington in two games. Is the Washington secondary improved? What is the plan to stop Malik Nabers? And not just him, but like even the Giants' other weapons have been decent in the past against Washington. Like, for some reason, and especially under Dable, the Giants have been able to show up and be in every game against Washington. So Malik Nabers, Wandale Robinson, Darius Slayton, Theo Johnson at tight end. I do think you might even have to be worried about like Devin Singletary catching balls out of the backfield, Jalen Hyatt and his speed. We have to prevent Russell Wilson from connecting on his deep shot downfield. It's like once he hits one of those, he turns back into Super Bowl champion Russell Wilson. But until he hits his deep ball, he's timid on taking some of those shots. So I think the second question that will be answered week one against the Giants is this secondary for Washington improved. Number three, I think we're going to find out week one, game one, does Dan Quinn trust his new kicker? How did we beat Washington? How did we beat the Giants last year? Seven made field goals. And that guy's gone. Like you rarely ever see that. We doinked one in the postseason, and that guy's gone. As Adam Peters was committed to bringing in a kicker with experience and a kicker that he thought his head coach could trust in Matt Gay. I was asked this week, do I have confidence in Matt Gay? I didn't gain any confidence from preseason. I didn't. We're going to find out, does Dan Quinn trust his new kicker? Does he get past the 50-yard line? Do they get to, you know, fourth and five from the 30 and decide we're going to kick a 47-yard field goal or go for it? That's going to be a big question throughout this season. Does Dan Quinn trust his new kicker? They were, what, 20-23 last year on fourth down, historically good. Yes, part of that was Cliff. Part of that was Jaden. And I believe that part of that was Dan Quinn not trusting his kicker. And that he felt like he was more confident in Cliff Kingsbury to draw up a good play on fourth and short than his kicker to hit a 45 or longer field goal. Does Dan Quinn trust his new kicker? Question number three, I think, will be answered week one. And number four, does Dan Quinn trust his new kicker? Will Cliff Kingsbury continue to be as successful on fourth downs? I do think sometimes fourth down calls, you kind of have to be a little bit more basic. I think that some offensive coordinators overthink it at times, and Washington has done that, right? I mean, I think back to the playoff game. Was it Tampa? Was it Detroit? We put Marcus Mariota in on fourth and one and tried to do like a fake QB sneak pitch to Jane Daniels. Cliff was overthinking himself there. What the heck are you doing, right? If you trust your line, if you trust the guys in the trenches, you push forward for 1 yard, you hand it off to the back, or you trust Jaden to do a QB sneak, right? At times, I think you can try to outsmart yourself, right? Will Cliff Kingsbury continue to be as successful on fourth downs? It's a question that I hope will be answered week one. And number five is, how will Jaden Daniels kick off his second NFL season? Week one, game one last year, first play was a 15-yard loss on a backwards pass. It can't get worse than that for Jaden Daniels. And I do think he wants to get off to a better start this season. Last year, he did not like what he did against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he ended up getting his revenge in the postseason. Well, how does Jaden Daniels kick off his second NFL season? Is he going to be running? Is he going to be taking more deep shots down the field? Will we continue to see that stellar completion percentage, right? That was maybe the part that got him the most notoriety about the rookie season. 69% completion percentage. At times, it was over 70. There were a couple games where he was nearly perfect, like when he out-dueled Joe Burrow or went to Arizona and destroyed the Cardinals, or the three quarters he had against the Cleveland Browns. Like, that three-game stretch there was insane, a great level of quarterback play. So what version of Jaden Daniels will we get week one, game one, to start the second NFL season of a guy that I think could be your league MVP? Most important players for Washington to get the win. The MIPs that I like to give out, most important players for Washington to get the win. I'm going to go with some obvious ones week one against the Giants. Let's start on the defensive side of the ball. Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu. All right. Like, I had a caller say, right, hopefully the line is better. Hopefully the secondary is better. We all feel pretty confident about the linebackers. So we're going to need a lot of really good play and consistent play, again, from Bobby Wagner and from Frankie Louvu. You got Von Miller, Quan Martin, and Marshawn Lattimore as the five most important players for Washington to get the win on the defensive side of the ball. Look, Von Miller is the hired hitman, the killer that's supposed to come in and kill drives, right? That's what you brought him in here. He's not going to play much on first and second down, I don't think. But third down, especially third and long, Von Miller will be there, and hopefully he will be a threat. Quan Martin, I think, has to have a really good game because he is the consistent piece in that secondary. Jeremy Chin's gone. He stays, right? You didn't like what you got from your corners last year. They're all gone in terms of most of them outside of Sain Ristil and Lattimore, right? So what are you going to get from Quan Martin? And then the last guy is Lattimore, because I think Lattimore can also destroy our game plan. If he has a couple dumb penalties, if he's getting into a fight with a teammate. The one thing that I don't think Lattimore fits is the culture that we have here. Like, we don't have a culture of guys that are fighting wide receivers out there. They're setting tones and playing by the example that they set of making a play, not making a play after the whistle. So I think he is one of the most important players for Washington to get the win because of that. You cannot have a bad version of Marshawn Lattimore and expect to win this game. If he's bad, it's going to be a bad day. If he's solid, I think it's going to make a big difference. Most important players for Washington get the win offensively: Jaden, Debo, Terry, Zach Ertz, and Tyler Biadasz. The snaps are so important. The snaps and his pass blocking up the middle. When the other teams have had interior pass rush, we have struggled. it makes so Jaden has to get rid of the ball quicker, or he has to move off his spot. He likes to, like, step up in the pocket. Well, you can't step up if Biotis is getting beat. So I think people sleep at times on how important the center position is. You do build from the center out, and Biotis, I think, can be a Pro Bowler. I think can be a top 10 center this year. I think he's got to be one of my five most important players on the offensive side of the ball for Washington to get the win. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. It's September 6th, just after 10:15. And tomorrow at 1 p.m., the Commanders will kick off the 2025 regular season at Northwest Stadium against the New York Giants. And my buddy Brian's listening, and he just let me know that he's going. He's got a big tailgate. He wants to let people know that you can join him. And I just can't wait to see what the crowd's going to be like. I do think it will be the most pro-Washington crowd that we've had in a while. Like, last season was the best season of my life. And this whole offseason, like we've heard some callers say, the excitement and the energy in this fan base has been building. People like my dad gone to the back of their closet to dust off a Brian Arakpo jersey to bring it back out for the new season. Like, people want to be a fan of this team again. It's cool to be a Skinny Skin Skins fan again, which is awesome. Go Commanders. Hail to the home team. We've got a few callers on the line, including a special guest, so we want to go straight to the phone lines here. Let's start with Drew in Eastern Shore. Drew, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, AWOD. So I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm spending all day tailgate prepping myself, so can't wait. But I do think that these are two NFC East teams. I think that they both want to run the ball a lot tomorrow. I think they want to do it for very different reasons. So I think the Commanders are going to want to get out to a big lead early. I think you're going to see Debo and Eckler, you know, and maybe Terry on the outside, and Zane, but really looking for quick scores early, and then shifting, if they get a lead, to a more ball control with Rodriguez pounding the ball. He's not a great blocker, but he's a good ball control guy, and that keeps the Giants' pass rush neutralized. If we can get a lead and they can't, you know, sit back and pin their ears on Jaden, I think it's a good day for us offensively, and I think we're going to score a lot of points. I figured north of 28 points is our goal. On the defensive side, I think the Giants are going to try to run. You know, that was the weakness of the team last year. And I think if our front, if Kinlaw and the guys Payne and the guys in the middle, as well as the outside, if we can keep them contained on the running game, then you have to have Wilson pass, and that's a bad day for the Giants. So I think stopping the Giants run early and putting them into passing situations, and meanwhile getting us, you know, scores early so we can run late, that's the secret of this game, and that's what I think is going to happen. So I'm excited. Let's go 1-0.
Good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. And I do think he's right in terms of NFC East battles. It's all about establishing the run. What did Philly do? Play one against Washington Conference Championship game, right? Saquon to the house. Look at Philly against Dallas. There were over 250 yards rushing in that game. Javonte Williams was good. Sanders broke free. And, of course, Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley for the Philadelphia Eagles. Establishing the run is going to be huge. I feel like Washington's going to try to run, and then hit one explosive play. Hopefully it's Terry down the field. Let's go to Lou in D.C. Lou, what's up, man? Lou, you're on The Fan.
Hello, this is Little, Adam. Little, man.
What's up, Little?
Yeah, always good to chop it up with you, man. Shout out to my man, Lou, though. Shout out to Lou. Sweet Lou. He might give you a call today.
He needs
to. Your man, Wesley. Hey, look, you remember last year, because I know the legend probably followed you today. last year, Adam, I called it that he's going to be fighting for the division. You remember me saying that, making that statement?
And you know what I said? I said it's probably a year too soon.
Right. I said, nah, Adam, I got a good feeling. We're going to be fighting for the championship. Just so happened we had to go on the road. Guess what? The football guy saying, guess what, y'all? We're going to make it home field advantage this year all the way through to the Super Bowl. That's what I got, Adam. And look, your last caller was right. We're going to pound that ball, man. That's the motto this year. Pound the ball, get established, and let's make badass, and our left tackle pro bowlers. That's what we're going at. And it's going to be a lot. It's going to be so fun to watch this kid, man, manifest the field more often. Like he had little problems last year where he get a little happy feet in the pocket. This year, I think this kid going to manifest the field, Adam, and going to shoot that ball right where it's supposed to go. And it's going to be a sight to see. Hey, look, I'm in Section 217. I fire tailgate Ted some kind of way. And I'm going to look for your man this year.
Sounds good, man.
Stay up, Adam.
Good call, man. Yeah, always appreciate when you chime in, Little. Hopefully he's right. Division champions. It starts at home. We have to win. I think we got to go like 6-2 at home. I've been saying on my show, we got to win the throwback jersey games, which I think is like, it's Seattle. I think it's Dallas on Christmas and one other game. Maybe it's the Chicago game. We got to win the throwback uni games. And then we've got to have a decent primetime record, which is just going to be tough because that's been our biggest issue in the past. All right, joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, a surprise guest, my buddy in Richmond, Michael Phillips, the host of MP on the Mic, who is a longtime Commanders beat writer and now covers the team for 910 The Fan. He will be at Northwest Stadium on Sunday. What's going on, Michael?
Rolling up to D.C., listen to the fan, hear my guy Awad talking about Tyler Biadasz. You're right, you were early on the Tyler Biadasz train. He was amazing last year. I want to throw a wrinkle at you, Adam, if you're ready for it.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see any Jackson Dart tomorrow outside of garbage time?
Ooh, I don't. Do you?
I'm curious because they used him situationally in the preseason. I'm wondering, Brian Daboll, we know he loves a little chaos. Sometimes he takes it too far. I'm wondering if they throw him in for a series or a design look.
You know what? You might be onto something because I said earlier, we are going to get the most desperate version of Brian Daboll that we've faced so far. He might go for it on 4th-and-10 in the first quarter. Like, he's going to do some crazy things because he knows his ass is grass if they don't have a good season.
This is do or die. I mean, in a very... You know, and look at the schedule coming after this. I know we've talked about this a ton. They're going to Dallas. Hey, Dak looks good. Dak looks healthy. That'd be a tough game for them. Chiefs and Chargers, both of those teams, have really, really good quarterbacks who are going to be able to handle that D-line. It doesn't get easier from here. I think he's going to throw everything and the kitchen sink at this tomorrow.
So we know how talented their defensive line is. They were really good last year and the year before even, coming after Washington. Now they add Abdul Carter. What does the game plan look like from Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, I think you're going to establish the run if you can, right? If you can, and I'm not talking about like the power run game. I'm talking about Deebo Samuel jet sweep, getting guys out in space. If you can get, you know, make them cover the whole 53 going horizontally, that will make life easier on the defensive line. You do that with Jaden as well. I think Jaden's going to run early. You know, I hate that. You know, I don't want him running as much as he does. I think he will run early to set up the game and make that defensive line respect that they're going to have to go sideline to sideline. They're going to have to defend every inch of the field, and hopefully that makes life easier on Connerly, on Tunsil, on these new guys who are getting thrown right into the fire their first game as Commanders.
Russell Wilson takes over as QB1 for the New York Giants after coming to Pittsburgh last year. He started 4-0, and it included a win over Washington. He struggled down the stretch, 4 losses in a row, and then a loss in the postseason to Baltimore. The one factor that really shows up when the box score that I look at is when he throws an interception, his team really struggles to win. And he threw an interception last year against Washington, and they should have lost that game. It wasn't for Benjamin St. Juice. So do you think Washington can get to Russell Wilson and create a turnover with our new-look secondary?
Yeah, and that's going to be a big theme this season, takeaways. The defense made strides last year from an abysmal showing 2 years ago, obviously, but certainly didn't get to where you need it to be to, you know, not rely on Jaden's heroics every week. This is a team that if you get average defensive play, and average defensive play is creating a takeaway in every football game. If you get average defensive play, this team can win a lot of games without, you know, Jaden needing to do something crazy in the final minutes, but you've got to get to that point first, and I do think takeaways are a big part of that. I think limiting explosive plays is a really big part of that, especially against Russ. I think he's going to try to stretch the field early. I think he's going to attack, you know, probably attack Lattimore early, assuming he's the one on Neighbors. If they go zone on Neighbors, maybe he attacks underneath, but I think he wants to stretch the field early and often.
Actives versus inactives. Are you expecting any surprises tomorrow? Will we get four running backs? There's been talk that maybe they would call up another wide receiver from the practice squad. Injuries that could pop up. Are you expecting any surprises with the injury report tomorrow and the inactive list?
Well, I've been banging the drum for a while. I think Bill Kroski Merritt is inactive tomorrow. We'll see when they come out. People have been very mad at me for saying that, and I appreciate the dialogue. Always good to hear from my fans. I like them.
They're
I
like, you don't know Bill. Me. Come on, Bill. It's Bill, dude. Bill Nye. Come on.
Bill. I love the guy. He's going to be good. And also, I think you need to protect Jaden Daniels. That's job one here. They're not making Jeremy McNichols inactive. He's needed. You need him for the pass block pickup. You need your tight ends. You need John Bates. You need him to have a big game. I just think when it comes down to it, they're going to take the proven guy in C-Rod over the unknown in Bill, and they're going to give Bill his opportunities. He may even get one as soon as Thursday night, some fresh legs in Green Bay, which would be a nice luxury there. But I think he'll be inactive tomorrow. I'm waiting on Noah Brown. That's the one that scares me, Adam. We got this whole like Veterans Day. We're just giving guys a day off. I'm not buying that after a 5-day break when training camp ended. I'm nervous about some of these injuries. I'm really worried because I think Noah Brown's an important part of this scheme.
Yeah, I do too. And I was worried during my show yesterday as well. I do think that Dan Quinn did provide a bit of a positive update. I now would be shocked if Noah Brown is out. I do think that he will be good to go, and I think we would have heard that a move in terms of another wide receiver if he wasn't. Michael, finally, score prediction.
Give me a high-scoring game. Give me a 31-28. I don't think it'll be easy, but I think the good guys win. I think if it's within one score and you give the ball to Jaden Daniels, he wins the game. What a luxury. What a nice thing to have. I agree with you. Crowd's going to be bumping. Parking lot's already sold out. I literally can't remember the last time that happened. I mean, we're probably going back to 2013, 2012 to pull last time the parking lot had sold out 2 days before the game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's Michael Phillips. MP on the mic can be heard Monday through Friday from 10 to 12 noon on the Odyssey app in Richmond. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No more preseason. The regular season is upon us. Game tomorrow, Washington against the Giants from Northwest Stadium. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. You can catch us on the Team 980. You got you covered on both ends of the dial. 106.7 FM, 980 AM in Richmond, 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Joining us right now, very special guest on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can hear him on the Commander's official broadcast. I love to check out the Tape Command podcast that he does, and also a ton of great work on Instagram and Twitter covering the franchise that he got to play for. That is Logan Paulson. What's up, Logan?
Not much, man. Excited for some football, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Do you, from when you played, do you have memories of going up against Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's that the playoff game in 2012 where he was playing for Seattle, and obviously it kind of squashes our playoff hopes and the RG3 injury there, yeah. But I remember thinking, watching him in that game, like thinking how composed he was, the decision maker that he was, how athletic he was, and again, obviously goes on to have a really tremendous career after that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what worries me. It's like, I have a vivid memory of that. I have like a memory of the Broncos. He had an awesome first half against Washington. And then the victory last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, I'm scared of Russell Wilson, dude.
And I think you should be. And I think a lot of people say, oh, he's not an MVP candidate anymore. He's not what he once was. He's not that gold jacket guy anymore. But I think when you watch him on tape, man, he's played quarterback long enough that he makes good decisions. He understands kind of the fabric of what it means to play quarterback, and he can throw the football down the field with great accuracy. And so in a league that's driven, offense and production is driven by explosive plays, he's dangerous enough to bring that to the forefront of any offense. And you look at him and his relationship with Malik Nabers, Mike Kafka, the way he calls games, I definitely understand your concern, Adam, and I think it's warranted.
Logan Paulson with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Check out the Take Command podcast. And so you've been covering this team. You've been at training camp. Can you provide some insight on, I think, what is the biggest question the fan base has is, which running backs are going to be active? Who's going to be standing next to Jayden Daniels, dude?
Yeah, man, I don't have a lot of great insight on that. I think because it's – and I'll tell you this. To me, if there's one guy that's going to get a lot of touches, it's probably going to be Austin Ekeler. But as we all know, like the style of play that he brings is a little bit different, right? He's more of a pass-catching guy, scat-back guy, third-down kind of pseudo-receiver type guy, kind of a, you know, Christian McCaffrey light, that type of utilization. So in terms of, like, getting touches in the run game, I mean, Chris Rodriguez was absolutely outstanding in the preseason, right? Bill Krosky-Merritt, outstanding in the preseason. McNichols is a pro's pro. So what I would say is that all three of those guys are in a really good position to make you better offensively. I think it's just about who is going to, like, what's the first run and which stylistic back does it fit the best?
You were a tight end in the National Football League, and tight end Zach Ertz for Washington found the fountain of youth last season. Will he be able to do that again this year? What have you seen from Zach Ertz this offseason?
I think Zach looks to be in the best shape that I've seen him in a couple of years. And I know, and I'm not being hyperbolic, whoever he is working with in the offseason outside of the Commanders has done a great job. Chet Engelhart, the head strength coach for the Commanders, has done a great job with him. Tim, the director of sports performance for the team. They really understand, I think, like, talk about competitive edges. I think Dan Quinn, Adam Peters going out and making sure they had the best people in the building was really, really smart, because you can see and how Bobby Wagner's playing, how Zach's playing, how any of these older football players that look like they were kind of on their last legs are playing when they're here. They really understand rest, recovery, treatment, training philosophy, training modalities, and it's made those guys so, so much better. Because I'll tell you right now, Zach, you know, obviously Terry wasn't here, but Zach was the most impressive person at training camp, maybe outside of Deebo Samuels, maybe 1A, 1B right there. So he's in great shape. I'm expecting huge things from him this year. And again, that's on him, that's his work ethic, and that's on the staff understanding what he needs to be the best version of himself at this age of his career.
Logan Paulson with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Logan, I've loved the moves Adam Peters has made this offseason. You mentioned Deebo. Of course, Laremy Tunsil. I like the new pieces on the secondary like Trey Amos, and I think the one thing we were waiting for is that edge rusher that's going to strike fear in opponents, and that's Von Miller when he got signed. I think he's the hired hitman, right, to go out there and kill drives with sacks on third downs. How much will he be involved week one against the Giants?
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that I'm really curious to see. I think the utilization you described is probably what I'm expecting. So anytime we got to have it, third and long, red zone situation where they're kind of backed up, second and long. Any moment that's a big kind of pivotal down where he can affect the game rushing the passer, I think you're going to see him in there. So how many snaps is that? I'd say between 12 and 15 to 17 snaps. And again, people say, well, is that getting the most out of him? And I think so. I think when you watch him at practice, when you watch his ability to disrupt the quarterback, to kind of understand intuitively how the tackle's trying to stop him. I think that skill set's tremendous. So I think I'm excited. You know, I don't know if he's going to have 10 sacks this year, but I think he's going to be very productive. And I think the other thing he brings is a lot of leadership and a lot of experience, which he can impart to the rest of that pass rushing unit.
Yeah. You know what could go unnoticed that he could bring is just getting a couple holding penalties, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, like, I kind of put those in the sack bucket, because if you're a defensive lineman, you're rushing the passer, and you get a hold, I mean, it essentially equates to the same thing, right? It backs you up 10 yards. And so those holding penalties from an offensive standpoint kill drives, defenses. If you can find ways to draw those, that's going to be very advantageous for you.
Now, the last time we saw Washington's offense, they were going up against a very talented defensive line, and it kind of wrecked the game plan a little bit. Giants have a great defensive line. How do you mitigate the pass rush? What kind of game plan will Kliff have with that?
Well, I think first and foremost, Adam Peters deserves a lot of credit for bringing Laremy Tunsil in. Like you said, you're able to move Brandon Coleman to guard. Obviously, the depth of Alec Reddy and Wiley, whoever's going to play that right guard spot. Connerly's improvement up this offseason. I mean, I'm excited about this group up front. But what I will say is I think Kliff has shown a tremendous ability to call games, insulating the offensive line. So first and foremost, the number one thing is you got to be able to run the football to a certain extent. That doesn't mean run the football all the time. It's run the football enough to offset and disrupt the pass rush. Maybe on first and second down, we'd have quick games, screens, things to kind of keep on schedule, possess the football, and allow those backs to get multiple bites of the apple, multiple touches. So I think that's the number one thing. Possess the football, run, quick game, screens, all that kind of stuff. On third down, I think we saw a lot of what Kliff wants to do with the double chip protection. I think now the thing I'm really excited to see, you mentioned Von Miller and his utilization, is how do you maximize and weaponize Laremy Tunsil? Are we sending slides away? Can we trust him to win on one versus Abdul Carter or Brian Burns or Kayvon Thibodeau? I emphatically would say yes, and that's going to allow you to get more guys out in the route. That's going to allow you to send the slide away from him. That's going to allow you to help other people in the offensive line. And again, you think about it, if we're sliding away, then if I'm Josh Connerly on the opposite side against Kayvon Thibodeau or Abdul Carter, whoever's over there, I can be a little bit more aggressive with my set because I know the guard's got inside help. So I think those are all things that I can't wait to see. I think that's what they're going to do. But again, you don't know until you see it on Sunday.
Logan Paulson with us here on the Rudegast Hotline. And Logan was a tight end on the team last time they really had good quarterback success. Can you compare and contrast? Maybe they're similar, maybe they're not. What it was like that offseason, RG3 from his rookie to his sophomore year to Jaden from his rookie to sophomore year. I mean, the excitement with the fan base, it kind of feels similar.
Yeah, I'm sure it feels similar to the fans. And again, obviously, Robert, what he did in 2012 was electric and historic in a lot of ways. And really, like, I feel so blessed to be a part of it. I think the one thing that gives me confidence is something that you noticed when they're getting drafted. Like, Robert was a relatively young player, kind of inexperienced in life. And I think you see Jaden, who's 25 years old, and he feels like an old man when you watch him. So the yeoman kind of workmanship that he put in this offseason, it's almost boring to a certain extent. I think that shows a tremendous maturity that comes with having made mistakes along the way during his time at Arizona State and LSU and understanding his process and what it takes to be successful. I think that's one of the reasons now you see teams valuing guys with more and more starts at the college level because of this experience. And it's not only experience on the field on Sunday's game day, it's experience in the offseason, it's experience in the week. Like, I love on the John Kime Report, John Kime's podcast, he was talking about how, Jaden Daniels went and did a self-scout of himself with his quarterback coach, his private quarterback coach, and said, these are things we got to work on. Like, that's big time difference-making stuff that gives me so much confidence he's going to be outstanding this year. So I think that would be the main difference, is just a difference in maturity. And again, that's not a knock on Robert, but I think it's more praise for Jaden Daniels and how he's handled himself this offseason.
All right, Logan, I'll let you go with this. Can you give me a surprise X factor for game one, Washington against the New York Giants tomorrow, Northwest Stadium? I'm taking your guy, John Bates, so you can't take him. Give me a surprise X factor for game one.
You know, it's so funny when you talk to fans, like I was talking to my dad the other day, and I feel like people are forgetting a little bit about Deebo Samuel, and maybe you're not forgetting about him, but I think people are sleeping on the utilization he's going to get, like as a ball carrier on these screens in the intermediate passing attack on third down. And I'm not sure if, you know, like Drew Phillips, the nickel for the Giants, is an excellent player. You know, I think he's in the same kind of conversation as Cooper DeJean. And if he was playing for the Philadelphia Eagles, we'd probably be talking about him in the same way. But I think that's going to be a tremendous matchup to watch. And if Deebo Samuel can win that and be the physical, imposing presence that he is, I think he's going to really change the game and be a total X factor.
Logan, thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Yep, that's our buddy Logan Paulson, former tight end for the Commanders, host of the Take Command podcast alongside Grant Paulson. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Logan Paulson, always a great interview. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. He thinks Deebo Samuel is going to be heavily involved in terms of his usage, and I think that is exactly what I've been thinking, right? Like, what happened this offseason is weird, right? Like, Deebo Samuel came in, and you thought, all right, well, he's going to be the 1B to Jaden and Terry. Well, then Terry wasn't there, and Terry was nowhere to be found. And then Terry was there, but he was not on the field. He was on the sidelines. He was signing autographs. And by the time Terry was there and got to play, I think Deebo and Jaden had already created a great connection, already connected in practice on explosive plays. And I think you have to reward Deebo for his professionalism this offseason, how he went to work every day and was committed to this team. There was talk that he's a locker room troublemaker and all this. No, he was great as a teammate. Everybody seemed to really like him this offseason. And I think you have to reward him, but also get him in the flow of this offense. Jaden's going to find Terry. Believe me, that's going to happen. But in the first half, I'm expecting him to force-feed Deebo Samuel the ball. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Adam, top of the day to you, buddy. Shout-out to Wesley. Shout-out to my man Little. And a shout-out to you, Adam, for your enthusiasm. I must admit it's very refreshing to hear in this negative world that we all live in.
I appreciate it. I am so ready for the start of the season.
I know you are, buddy, and I hope we have a good one. But I think we all need to pump the brakes a little bit, not a lot, because I've called in and talked to JP and B. Mitch and told them I hope they pound them into the ground, and I think they can do that by pounding their rock, like my man Michael Phillips was saying. And I also think that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, whether they win or they lose, they've got to start developing that synergy again, because that's what gave them 12 wins last year. And the only way you're going to develop that synergy is by playing together live action when the brutality begins. And I think they, as long as they do that and do a admirable job, the season will be young. But I want them to win, Adam, just like you. And I also think that, man, they've got a lot of new additions to their team. It's going to take a while to develop that synergy, but they have been developing it in training camp and practicing. So they've got an excellent chance at winning, and I think they have an excellent chance of winning the game.
Mark, let me ask you a question. So I think they have to run the ball, too. I think you're right about that. I think everyone's right. We have to run the ball.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a lot of Jaden running. Are you okay if the script is a lot of Jaden to start the game?
To a certain extent, yes, I am, because that's the way the league is going. But I just hope that this year here that Jaden, through experience, has learned to slide and learned to protect himself more. And I hope that the line protects him more.
Yeah.
And also, man, with running, I'm hoping that maybe my man Bill will maybe be the second coming of a man from that played for Detroit named Mr. Barry Sanders, because those are the style of his – he is in that running style of cutting and making people miss and good contact running. And – man, that sure would be nice to see. And I think that also my man Chris Rodriguez is going to really excel.
Good call, Mark. Appreciate you chiming in. Chris Rodriguez was the fourth quarter man for the second half last season. Can he be the first quarter man this year? We'll see what happens. I do expect Austin Ekeler to get the most touches of the running backs. In terms of who carries for the most yards and the most attempts, I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels' running ability sets up the passing game, but also, like, sets up the other guys being able to run the ball, right? When you do the read option play and somebody's got to keep an eye on Jaden, it's one less guy to go tackle Austin Eckler, Bill, Jeremy McNichols, or Chris Rodriguez. So I think Jaden's going to run. I've been talking about this all offseason. I do think there's a chance he's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher this year. I think he's going to have 10-plus carries in game one. If he has less than that, it's probably because Washington won by double digits. His ability to go around the outside just opens up the entire offense. And it really, that's it, like from what I saw last year, that's when this team got going. I always talk about their record. When he ran for 34 or more yards in a game, they were 10-2. That he runs, Washington wins. It's kind of as simple as that. Now, there's other factors as well. I think they're going to have to get into the end zone when they get to the red zone. They're going to have to avoid the special teams disaster, the big mistake in terms of a turnover. And hopefully, the crowd can make a difference here. Give us a home field advantage, make it difficult for the Giants on third downs, maybe force them into a false start. We haven't had a home field advantage in a while. Like I've been talking about, I've got so many friends that are going to this game. It's been the talk of the town this offseason about how Washington could have an MVP, how Washington could be a legit Super Bowl contender. Everyone wants to witness the Jaden Daniels show. It'll be tomorrow, 1 p.m., Northwest Stadium. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. We got a power hour, the final hour of the show, coming up next. I'll give you my Commanders season predictions, the Commanders keys to victory against the New York Giants, and I'll go around the NFL, pick my winners for the Sunday slate and Monday Night Football of Week 1. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.